Alberto, what I wanted to ask you first was, have you continued to have any issues with your heart? And was the solution in the research you did having to do with nutrition and well-being and grounding and all the things?
Well, I think it's very important for people to learn what happened to me, because I have found that many people have had the same issues and they have no idea how to tackle it. What I had is called paroxysmal supraventricular tachycardia, which is like a short circuit in your heart that will provoke an arrhythmia
Yes.
that can make your pulse go very, very high. It could be very dangerous if you are not in very good shape. And you would treat that not with a cardiologist, but with an electrophysiologist, which is the doctor that specializes in the electrical areas of your heart. So it's not plumbing, it's electricity, okay? It has nothing to do with diet, it has nothing to do with healthy habits. It's something genetic.
I see.
So an electrophysiologist would do a process which is known an ablation.
Okay, so thank you for reminding me. The healing that your heart had came from your going to the right approach with this doctor who knew about the electrical impulses of the heart. It didn't have to do with the dietary changes, and yet you know how valuable it is to change the lifestyle for better health. So I was wondering if you've had any further episodes, and if not, what are some of the things you attribute that to, besides the procedure that the doctor did?
Well, I must say that the procedure is 99.9% effective, so I have to give credit to the procedure. But I should add that the power of epigenetics has a big role in what could happen to our bodies. Your habits play a very big role in your genetic expression, and that is being proven scientifically. And not only your habits, but your thinking patterns on what you think, since your subconscious mind cannot differentiate between what is real outside of your body and what is happening in your mind. So I would encourage people listening to this that you should be very careful with what you think and what you feed your mind, since what you feed your mind will determine every single thought and idea that you will have.
Thank you. Thank you for that word. This is one reason I don't watch horror movies because I'm like, I don't want that going in my mind and shaping me in any way, shape, or form.
That's right. Even negative news, horror movies, your subconscious mind won't know the difference between a real threat and what a movie is showing you. And that is no joke. So we have to be very, very serious about that.
Thank you for that. Now, Annette, I know that you studied a method of nonviolent communication years ago, and you said somehow that's great for you too, talking about lifestyle and health choices.
Yes, so my undergraduate and graduate studies are in communications. And throughout my years of professional work, I have been considered as an advisor or an expert in communications. But then in 2010, I received a certification. It was a 2 weeks intensive course in Stony Brook University, actually in New York. And I learned about nonviolent communication. This is a method and a concept developed by a psychologist, Marshall Rosenberg. And it has like a few steps that you have to follow, observing the feelings, then being able to, with empathy, deliver it to others, and also seeing feelings connected to your needs as a human being, and also requesting something for the other person. But the thing is that through our health journey and our relationship for more than 15 years, we have learned, and I particularly have learned how to apply that not only with other people, but most importantly with myself. So one key aspect of this nonviolent or compassionate communication is to be nonviolent and compassionate with myself. So it's really tied to what Alberto just mentioned about what are you thinking? What am I thinking? What are the thoughts behind and the subconscious beliefs sometimes that have that influence? So understanding all of that and supporting myself. If I have a feeling or I have a thought that is not constructive, that it becomes toxic, like the food you eat or the products you put on your skin, all of that. And if you have the ability to look at communication between yourself and others with that lens and with that mentality, it's a game changer for your life with your relationships.
That's such a good word, because I think if I were learning that process of communication, I would consider it how I relate to the world outside. And you're saying, take a look at how it relates to you as a person and how are you speaking to yourself. Can you be vulnerable and tell us one example of some thinking that you needed to shed and what you replaced it with?
Oh, for sure. I have tons of examples. And one of them would be, for example, when Alberto had the heart condition, for example, I received a call from one of his friends. He was playing basketball at the moment, and I received the call, and some of his friends told me, you know, Alberto had an issue, we are at the emergency room, so you have to be here, of course. And so on the way there, the first thing, and I didn't, you know, it's something that comes to your mind, you don't put a lot of effort, but thoughts are like clouds. Sometimes they will pass, and sometimes you can get stuck at that cloud and looking at it for hours. So the thought that came was, this is because of your fault. This is because of all the emotional stress that he went through being your caretaker. And so one of the nonviolent communications and compassionate approaches was, okay, that was the thought. You know, that was the feeling linked to it. So what is the need behind that? So maybe there's a need for me to heal the wound of what happened with this process of being diagnosed with the depression and everything. So maybe that's subconsciously, I think his problem of the heart was because of me. And then if he dies, it's your fault. So all those thoughts. So how compassionate I can be with myself to say, no, okay, I thought that, and I won't be, you know, mad at myself because I thought it. But then I won't stick to that thought. I will replace it with something else because I understood the need behind it, what happened. And then the request, which is, I think, the fourth step of this process, to myself. Because sometimes then you request to other person, can you please do this or that because I felt this way when you said X and Y. Mm-hmm. So to myself was, you need to be more compassionate with yourself and you need to have no burdens if it's the moment for him, okay? So I told him, you know, that I love you and I love myself. So when there's love, there's no room for any fear.
Right. And instead of judgment, there's compassion and understanding and acceptance. So this has been great. I love these little mini episodes because it's a heart to heart. And I really appreciate the extra time you all took. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hilda.